Luke chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. This is the reading of God's word. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh, grant us an ear to hear your word that we may hear, truly hear, so that our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, bless us, that through your word that we may see what our Lord has accomplished for us already. And through your word, let us have fellowship with him. And bless us that your word will be preached correctly. All of us will hear your word and believe and obey your word. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1 in the book of Luke. But we are going to look at these verses in detail next Lord's Day. Today will be an introduction to these verses. According to these verses, Luke wrote this book to a person called Theophilus. Well, it is a wonderful name, Theophilus. In my previous church, the leaders of that church loved that name so much that we name the church by that name. Theophilus, it means the lover of God. But apart from this, knowing the name, knowing the meaning of the name, we do not know anything about this person. So we move on. The book of Luke is obviously written by Luke, but ultimately, it is the Word of God. We believe that the New Testament is written by the apostles or the persons who are directly under the authority of those apostles. And we believe that even though the scriptures are written by men, the ultimate author is God. Today's passage deals with some of these things. So today and the next 2 weeks, as we look at our passage, we'll deal with the topic of the inspiration of the Bible and many issues that are related to it. The first issue here is the person Luke, because he is not an apostle. And yet, we accept the book of Luke as God's word. In fact, he wrote another book called Book of Acts. And he is not an apostle. So we'll deal with this issue first. As we have said already, we believe that the Bible is the word of God. And thus, we believe that the Bible is inerrant and infallible. It does not have any errors or and whatever it says will come true. And here, when we say the Bible, we mean the original manuscripts, not the translations. Because the Bible never tells us that translation is inerrant. But the original manuscripts, the original writings of the authors of the Bible. Now, we're going to talk a lot about the issues that is concerning the inspiration of the Bible. So, if I don't address it directly today or the time that you wish I will deal with it, just wait. Wait until next 2 weeks. And if then you still have questions, then please talk to me, because I cannot deal everything in those 3 weeks. We could meet, well, after pandemic is over. Now, it is obvious that men wrote the scriptures. How then can we claim that God Himself is the ultimate author? We are not saying that the Bible is a dictation. You know, God just says, and these people were dictate. You know, when you go to a elementary school, primary school, that's what you do, right? You do dictation. Whatever teacher says, you write. Bible is not written like that. But there are direct quotations of God in the Bible. But the majority of the Bible was not direct quotations. Also, we are not saying that these men were under God's trance or spell, that they did not even know what they were writing. No, the Bible says that it is written by the inspiration of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, we see two verses in the Bible. The first verse is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That verse says all scripture is inspired by God. It literally means God breathing. And the second verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Here, prophecy means revelation. And according to this verse, God's revelation are given to us by men who are moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved by God. It literally means men who are carried by the Holy Spirit. Thus, we put these two verses to form the simple version of the doctrine of the inspiration of the Bible. God chose these men and used their natural abilities to write His Word. And when these men were writing the Bible, God carried these men, meaning that God was in complete control. Thus, whatever they wrote is God's Word. It is as if those words came out of God's mouth. God breathed them. This is what we believe because that's what the Bible teaches us. Thus, all words written by these men are God's inerrant words. Acts chapter 28, verse 25 says, "And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah, the prophet, to your fathers." According to this verse, the prophet Isaiah spoke to their fathers, but it was the Holy Spirit speaking through that prophet Isaiah. So this is what we read in the Bible. Even though Isaiah spoke, it is the Holy Spirit speaking through him. So God is using Isaiah to speak to them. That is the concept. Even though it is written by man, but it is the Holy Spirit using these people in such a way that whatever they're writing is God's word. Now, we will deal with this way later, because I already dealt with this morning when I did the Korean sermon. As a Christian, our job is not to convince people. You cannot convince. I have no ability to convince you. It is the Holy Spirit who wrote this book through these men. He's the only one who could convince you. Our job is to proclaim what it says. This is what the Bible says. Now, whether you are convinced or not is up to the Holy Spirit. What I'm doing as a preacher is to bring you His Word. Trusting God to work in you who are hearing, so that you may believe what God says. So don't go try your best to convince non-Christians that this is God's word when it is written by man. You could bring all kinds of arguments. They will not believe. But the Holy Spirit might use your arguments. He may use what you say to them, so that He will convince them of what He says. That is why when you talk to non-Christian, you have to pray. Truly pray that God will use whatever you will say in His work of giving that knowledge, true knowledge, to that person. So even when it comes to the inspiration of the Bible, my job is to bring you what the Bible says. And if the Holy Spirit is working in you, you will accept what He says. And these are not my words. I'm bringing what the Bible says to you. Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 25. Who, by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage, and the people devise futile things? Now, it says, Acts 4:25 says that David said these words in Psalm 2. But this verse says that the Holy Spirit said those words through the mouth of David. And this is the concept. Yes, it is David who said it, who wrote it. But Bible says it was Holy Spirit through the mouth of David. Through David said this. If you could get this concept, then you understand the inspiration of the Bible. Luke quotes an OT verses here and tells us that the Old Testament verse is God's word. Now, one more place. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. This verse tells us that it is the scripture saying, but ultimately it is God saying. Same concept. So scripture says all this, but Bible tells us that it is God. But this is now our focus today. Remember I said it was issue is about Luke, who is not an apostle. Well, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Yeah, some of you will have children later. And it's not easy. It's really not easy. But, you know, we got to do our best. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5 says, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Now, these two verses says that the Bible, the foundation is the apostles and the prophets. God's will has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And the verse talks about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Thus, we believe that the Bible is written by the apostles or the people who are directly under the authority of the apostles. Now, first, this does not mean that everything that the apostle wrote is God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9, I wrote to you, Paul is saying to Corinthians, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Now this verse is in 1 Corinthians. And yet Paul speaks of his previous letter. This means that there is at least one letter that was written to the Corinthians by Paul that we do not have in the Bible. That letter, even though written by an apostle, is not the word of God. Some of you might say that it is not in the Bible because it is not found yet. But we believe that if it is God's word, then God would not hide it from God's people for more than 2,000 years. So, New Testament is written by the apostles, or the people who are under direct authority of the apostles. Now, who are the apostles? And what is the requirements for a person to be an apostle? First, generally, many think about 12 disciples of Jesus when they are asked of who are the apostles. But we must realize that in the Bible, there are many more apostles than just 12 disciples of Jesus that we see in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Let me give you examples here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1. Compare that with chapter 2 verse 6. Now chapter 1 verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. And I go over to chapter 2, verse 6. Know that we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ, we might have asserted our authority. we of chapter 2, verse 6, includes Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. Paul even says, we as apostles of Christ. Now here's a more clear verse. Acts chapter 14, verse 14. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out. Here is a clear example of what we are speaking of. Barnabas was not one of those 12 apostles, and yet this verse clearly says that he is an apostle. Because he says, apostles Barnabas and Paul. Galatians chapter 1 verse 19, but I did not see any other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I did not see any other apostles except James, meaning James is an apostle, according to that verse. But James, the Lord's brother, was not one of the 12 disciples. But here it says he is an apostle. The apostle Paul himself was not one of the 12 disciples. But we know very clearly that he was an apostle. Now the word apostle means a sent one. A person who is sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. Next question is then, who is able to be an apostle? Of course there are the people who our Lord Jesus Christ has chosen and sent with his authority. But we have little more information in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Here in Acts 1, 21 and 22, we see a story of replacing Judas Iscariot because Judas killed himself. So they were trying to replace him. And there we see the requirements on who is able to be an apostle. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. I read them to you. Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So in choosing the replacement of Judas, who was an apostle, they say, what? Two things here. Who accompanied the Lord and the other apostles? From the baptism of John until the day of Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. So it has to be a person who was with other apostles and with Jesus all the way from John was baptizing all the way from Jesus ascending to heaven. So can anybody become an apostle today? No. Because obviously if you're living today, you was never with Jesus Christ and other apostles when he was living here on earth. And yet some churches out there saying that their leader is an apostle. Wrong. And they claim, and they do, have a biggest church in the world right now. And second requirement, who are a witness of Jesus' resurrection? Because he is a witness with the other of Jesus' other apostle of Jesus' resurrection. Which means, after all the apostles died, no one is able to be an apostle. Because that person was never an eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection, and that person was not with Jesus and the other apostles during the life that Jesus lived here on earth. Now, it is clear that Luke is not an apostle, but it is also clear that Luke was what Paul called a fellow worker. He comes out in Paul's letters three times. Philemon 24, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. That verse tells us that Luke, who wrote this book that we're looking at, is a doctor. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. So when Paul was in prison in Rome, Luke was with him, according to that verse. We will see in more detail next Lord's Day, but the book of Acts is also written by Luke, who is the author of the book of Luke that we're looking at. And when we read the book of Acts, in the events in which Luke was not present, Luke used the plural pronoun they. Obviously, he was not with them, so he describes that event saying they did this, they did said that. But in the events in which Luke was present, he used the plural pronoun we. In Acts chapter 16, chapters 20 and 21, and 27 and 28, when the central character is Paul, Luke used the plural pronoun we. This proves that Luke was Paul with Paul. Luke is not Paul. Luke was with Paul. And Paul said, he's my fellow worker. Thus, we are able to conclude that Luke worked a lot with Paul. And the Apostle Paul himself testifies that he has worked a lot with Luke and that Luke was his fellow worker. Thus, we are able to say that Luke was under direct authority of Paul. And during the time of the apostles themselves testified that the scriptures that are written by the other apostles as God's word. I read to you one verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Peter is speaking of the letters of Paul. And he says that some people don't even know what gospel is, and I'm trying to say exactly how he says it. Untaught and unstable, distort, as they do also the rest of the scripture. They distort the letters of Paul as they do the rest of the scripture. Peter is saying that Paul's letters are part of the scriptures. So Peter is saying Paul's letters are God's word. So back then, these apostles were acknowledging the writings of the other apostles as God's word. Now, that's important because we have a passage in which Paul acknowledges what Luke has written as the scripture. Now, during the time of the apostle, by the work of the Holy Spirit, God's church was able to accept the words of the apostles as God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. In the same vein, the Apostle Paul acknowledges the book of Luke as God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. For the scripture says, Paul says, the Bible says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. There he's arguing that people like me should get paid as I do the ministry. You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Now the phrase, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, is from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. But the phrase, the laborer is worthy of his wages, is found only in Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 7. You will not find that phrase any other place in the Bible. And yet here, Paul says that scripture says this. And he quotes one phrase from the book of Luke. So we could conclude, safely conclude, the Bible tells us that Luke is God's word. Now again, by reading all these verses, I'm not going to be able to persuade non-Christians out there. But I'm just bringing you what Bible says. And if Holy Spirit is working in you, you will accept what Bible says. And that's what Christian is all about. We believe the Bible. And we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Thus, Bible wins all our arguments. Period. Because this is the Word of God. Not what I think, not what you think. And you could bring out all kinds of excellent argument about whatever you think, but it's not God's Word. That is why nobody has to follow it. But if the Bible says, then it's no longer our words. And we must obey the Bible. This is why when you argue with me, you always ask me, where is it in the Bible? And if I cannot find what I'm saying in the Bible, then you don't have to listen to me. Because you don't come to church to listen to what I think. You come to hear the Word of God. So challenge me. Because it's good for you and good for me that you challenge, hey, you said this, but where is it in the Bible? Yes. Just because famous person say it or educated person say it, just because I sincerely believe it, it really doesn't matter. Where is it in the Bible? Otherwise, it's just your opinion. And I might just hear your opinion or I might reject it. You know, I don't have to obey your opinions. You don't have to obey my opinions. But you have to obey God's word. This is why we have to deal with this in the beginning. The Luke, the book of Luke, is God's word. That means we have to pay careful attention to it. You know, I grew up, I don't know these days, I really don't understand a lot of things about young people these days, but when I was growing up, when even adult speaks, out of respect, I pay attention. And when God speaks, oh, you better pay attention. It's God speaking through His Word. And I think that is why you have to raise your kids to be respectful and really know that when adults speak, they listen. Because if you don't raise kids up like that, then they come to church and even God speaks, they don't listen. This is serious. We need to pay attention when God speaks. And this is exactly what we believe, right? When we preach the Bible, it is God's word. Now, if what we say is true, that only the apostles and the person who is under direct authority of the apostle can write the Bible, then only the writings that were written during first century can be true scriptures. Why? Because by the second century, all the apostles had died. So whatever written outside of the first century cannot be the Bible. And this is really important because there are many apocrypha pretending to be Bible these days. Like Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Judas, all kinds of things out there. Now some publishing company will include those things in the Bible. I'm not joking, you could buy these things. Gospel of Judas. Actually, it says all our other Gospels are wrong. But thank God. And I see God's working even in these things. Thank God that many New Testament scholars, famous ones, and many of them non-Christians, and they study the Bible. And they study and they study, and believe me, they know the Bible, but they don't understand, but they know the Bible way better than any one of us. These non-Christian biblical scholars. They study so much, and they all agree. And this is the key, they all agree that these books were written after the first century. See how this works? How God is in control? That even non-Christians who want to say that the book of Judas, Gospel of Judas, is part of the Bible, even he himself will say, but this was not written by Judas. Because back then, people used alias. You know, names they chose. Writing letter names. And that it is written after first century. Thus, they say themselves, say that these books were written after all the apostles had died. They did work for us. We could just hear what they say and we reject. Because they were not written by the apostle or written under the direct authority of the apostle. We do not accept them as a part of the canon. We only accept 66 books that we have in the Bible. Now Luke belongs to the New Testament. So during the 4th century, all known churches at the time, unanimously, and you know, when churches gather, that word unanimously doesn't belong. We always fight. But during the 4th century, all known churches at the time unanimously have recognized 27 books of the New Testament as the canon. Only the 27 books, just like how we have in the Bible as God's Word. And I use the word recognized. It's not church choosing it. We recognize it by the work of the Holy Spirit. We recognize this God's Word. So, you and I have no reason whatsoever to reject the book of Luke as God's Word. And if we accept the book of Luke as God's Word, well then let us pay careful attention. Because God is speaking. Now, as we read the book of Luke, let us realize that the Bible not only tells us of God's love for us, but the fact that God's word is given to us shows how much God loves us. It is truly amazing grace of God. I mean, think about it. If God did not write the Bible, if 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born, and he grew up, and he did all these things, and he dies on the cross, and he resurrects, and he goes up into heaven, but God did not write any of the books, how could we know what that meant? Yes, all that happened, but what does that mean to us? We will never know without the Bible. This is God's love to you. He tells you what happened. He tells you what he did. He tells you what the meanings are. So that you may know. God loves you. You know, when you receive a love letter from your girlfriend or boyfriend, man, how many times you will read it? Oh, especially in the beginning, you are so in love. And then the guy writes you or the girl writes you, you're going to read many, many, many times. I guarantee it. And here's God's love book to you. Not just letter, but book. He wrote a book to you and you don't read. Which you have to question, do you love him? He loves you. He wrote a book so that you may understand. Truly amazing grace of God. The Bible is written for you. It's not written for non-Christians. It's written for you. John chapter 20 verse 31, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. It says the Bible is written for you so that you may believe in Jesus to receive eternal life. That's the purpose. So treasure it. Read it. Meditate upon what it says. God's word is God's method of His salvation. Thus we are so thankful whenever we read the Bible. Luke chapter 1 verse 4. Today's passage. It says, Luke says, I have written all this to you, Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Or NIV, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Yes, there are many things you have been taught concerning God, but you got to come to the Bible. So that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. God is looking out for you. That's why He wrote this book for you. This is the reason why God has written the book of Luke to you, so that we may know the certainty of the things we have been taught. So let us read, let us study, let us hear it preached, so that we may know the certainty of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. So that who we have become as Christians. World doesn't even know what God has done for His people. World doesn't know because of what Jesus has done, how the world is now completely changed. That this visible world is passed away. And the new world has come. World doesn't know it. World doesn't know that the new creation has been accomplished. They don't know. Tragic is when Christians don't know what happened to them. How they no longer belong to this world. How they are not citizens of this world anymore. How they have become the citizens of heaven. How they are now God's son. The royal priesthood of God. They don't know. But you do. Because of the Bible. And the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. And we will deal with that next Lord's Day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your Word. It is the only thing that clearly shows us who Jesus is and what He has done, what He has accomplished for us. The Bible is the only thing that will show us what we have become, who we are in Christ even now. It is truly lamp upon our feet, shining the way to Jesus, and shining Jesus Christ, so that we may come to Him, that we may see Him, that we may know Him. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.